Hey, there we go. I'd like everybody this morning to turn to the As We Gather section of the bulletin this morning. As we gather, this Independence Day in the United States of America, we celebrate the 250th anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776, declaring independence from Great Britain and the birthday of the United States. Christians live in two realms simultaneously, as subjects of an earthly government and as members of the heavenly kingdom. Loyalty to both is required. It is only when the earthly government requires any denial of the heavenly kingdom, as for instance in the communist nations or under atheist regimes, that the Christian is constrained to obey God rather than men. A secular celebration of Independence Day takes great pride in our country, in distinction from all other national loyalties. A Christian celebration likewise takes pride in our country, all the while mindful of our spiritual family that transcends all national loyalties. Recognizing the 250th anniversary of our nation, let us stand as we sing the national anthem. Flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. To the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the faith for which it stands, one Savior, eternal, with mercy and grace for all. We continue with the singing of our opening hymn, Come Unto Me, Ye Weary. We remain standing.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to this Sunday, July 5th, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Terry Biggs. The opening hymn is number 684, Come Unto Me, Ye Weary, hymn 684 in the Lutheran Service Book. Cheryl Lowney is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in memory of Wilma Stocker's birthday today. Bev Lolling is sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in thanksgiving for her many blessings.
Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable.
One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts.
On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate.
They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds And I will declare your greatness.
They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made.
All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you.
They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power.
To make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works.
The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, your mercy attends us all our days. Be our strength and support amid the wearisome changes of this world, and at life's end, grant us your promised rest and the full joys of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, from the book of the prophet Zechariah, the ninth chapter, beginning at the ninth verse. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to confession, which are these places in life?
Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm?
The epistle reading from the book of Romans, the 7th chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the Gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 699, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, hymn 699 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text this morning from Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 28th verse. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we have noted already this morning, Just yesterday, our country celebrated the 250th anniversary of its founding. And it is good that we thank God for all the blessings that He has bestowed upon our nation in those years, especially for the freedom to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of His work on our behalf. Now, at the same time, we don't want to conflate or confuse that which is sacred and that which is secular. So this morning we sang two verses of our national anthem and we pledged our allegiance to our republic. But we should also note that we did this before the invocation to signify that there is a distinction between the sacred and the secular, between things earthly and things that are heavenly. And this, when I was thinking about that, it led me to consider the flags that we have here down in the front of the church. Now, I don't know if it's true. My dad used to say, I don't know if it's true. I just know it's true. Somebody told me. I don't know if it's true, but I've heard that the American flag in most churches used to be back there at the entrance to the church, and it was just out on the outside of the door. And this was to signify that you were leaving the secular world and coming into the presence of God, where there is no symbol save those that are pointing to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's likely a nice story, but for all the looking up I did this week, I could not find out if that was true or not true or anything of the nature. What I think is more likely and what I could find is that during and after World War I, flags were moved in churches down to the front of the church, especially in ethnic congregations, and most especially in those congregations of German descent who didn't want their loyalty to the United States questioned. I read also that it was apparently the push of the flags down to the front here was something that the Ku Klux Klan thought was a good idea to show that you had allegiance to the United States of America. And then there's the Christian flag. It was first conceived on September 26, 1897, at Brighton Chapel on Coney Island in Brooklyn, New York. The superintendent of a Sunday school, Charles C. Overton, gave an impromptu lecture because the speaker for the day that was coming to this Sunday school gathering was unable to make it. And he gave a speech asking the students what a flag representing Christianity would look like. So Overton thought about this and his speech for many years afterward. And in 1907, Overton and another man named Ralph Diefendorfer, who was the secretary of the Methodist Young People's Missionary Movement, designed and began promoting the flag, that flag there. And as an ecumenical flag, in other words, a flag that is good for all denominations, I was wondering if we instead should have a distinctly Lutheran flag over on that side of the building, whether one with the Lutheran cross on it or one that has a cross on it and the letters VDMA, which is the Reformation slogan, or Verbum Domini manet in aeternum, which translates into the word of the Lord endures forever, which is what the Reformation slogan was, the word of the Lord endures forever. And it affirms the eternal truth and the unchanging authority of God's word. So what flag we should have over there, we'll leave that to a later time, for another discussion of that nature. But the word of the Lord is, of course, what the church is about. The church points to the Word and to what the Word proclaims to us. It proclaims what the Word says in our gospel reading. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, how does the church do this? That's the question. How does the church bring that rest, that word to us? How do we in our blessed Missouri Synod deliver this rest to you, a hearer of the word. What makes us different or unique? And on this 250th anniversary of the celebration of our nation's independence, what can this congregation and this church body give as a gift to our nation? We have confession and absolution. That is one of the gifts that we bring to this nation, confession and absolution. And we deliver God's forgiveness to you through it. We not only proclaim the forgiveness of sins, we deliver this forgiveness of sins to you through God's living and active word. And so you do not only hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word has an effect upon you. It gospels you. It picks you up. It works you over. It gospels you. It forgives you all your sins. Considering that God delivers forgiveness to us in multiple ways shows us just how serious God takes sin and how serious sin is. Right? Sin is no small thing. We can look in our scriptures and find out, you know, what is sinful and what the seriousness through which God takes said sins. The giving of forgiveness first comes to you in your baptism. Right? We deliver the forgiveness of sins to you in your baptism. Cut to the quick on Pentecost by Peter's preaching. What did the people ask Peter? What did they ask? They said, "What shall we do?" And what was Peter's answer? His answer was, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." There it is. The forgiveness of your sins. The absolution. You are given the absolution in your baptism. Baptism is God's work, and what He does is sure and certain. Baptized into the name of the triune God, into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven and you are delivered from sin, death, hell, and the devil. There we rest certain in God's promise and God's word. What word is that? There is now. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ's righteousness was put on you in your baptism. You are draped and dripping and clothed with Christ's righteousness. And because of that, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. But our Lord doesn't stop there. He gives us the holy absolution. He gives us the word of the Lord spoken to us. In confession, we admit that we offend God. "I have offended you in thought, word, and deed by what I have done and by what I have left undone. I have not loved my neighbor as myself," and so on and so forth. I have offended God in thought and word and deed. And yes, sin is an offense to God. It offends Him. It cost Him the life of His Son. And so when we sin, we offend God. This offense to God, no work of ours can remove. It is God Himself through His called and ordained servant who speaks the word of absolution to you. The Augsburg Confession, Article 25, states, "Our people are taught that they should highly prize the absolution as being God's voice and pronounced at God's command." So then the pastor absolves us. That is, when he says, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We can believe that it is on Christ's authority that He is speaking. And we believe and trust that God Himself has forgiven us all our sins. So when your pastor speaks to you the voice of the absolution, you should hear it as if God Himself was speaking to you. Because the pastor is delivering to you God's message and God's words. Everything, therefore, in the Christian church is ordered towards this goal, that we should daily receive in the church nothing but the forgiveness of sins through the word to comfort our consciences as long as we live. And then this grace of God, the grace of God that rolled in a mighty tide from baptism into the holy absolution, overflows into the sacrament of the altar. When Christ instituted the sacrament of the altar, he who is the incarnate Word of God, the eternal Son of the true and living God, took the bread and took the wine and blessed it and gave it to his disciples. My body given for you, my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Here it is in three different ways, not counting with Christians speaking forgiveness back and forth to one another, and Christians reminding one another of the forgiveness of our sins. We are veritably dripping in the absolution, the forgiveness of our sins. We have the Word, the powerful, living, and active Word of God, which creates and gives what it promises. Here it is delivered to you just what that word says. The true body and the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. That is the absolution, the abolishing and the obliterating of your sins from you, removing them from you as far as the east is from the west, and in such a way that God remembers them no more. Absolution. There it is. The easy and the light yoke that you are asked to bear. Our church body, our congregation, is an absolving church. It is a receiving and delivering the clear declaration of Jesus Christ. I forgive you all your sins. What was it that happened in the upper room on Easter Sunday when Jesus appeared to the disciples? He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So we stride forth into the world, into our nation, into our community, and that we live in the name of Jesus Christ. And we issue the invitation, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. That is, all you who are burdened by your sin, and all you who are weary of the labor of trying to be good enough to be forgiven, trying to earn God's love, trying to placate God's anger over your sin. Hear now in word and sacrament that is spoken to you and given to you. Know that you are now clothed in Christ's holiness, washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, free and emboldened to go forth and live for him who lived and died for you and who rose again for the forgiveness of your sins. And that is Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of our offertory. Seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You've been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Plaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the Internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Plaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Please rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O God, your Son Jesus invited us to take up his light and easy burden and so find rest for our souls. Through confession and absolution, keep us mindful of the eternal rest of salvation that is only found in the work of Christ, who is our only hope of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, fill our homes with your word and your grace. Be the companion of those who are alone. Strengthen husbands and wives. Bless parents as they catechize their children. Let them all find refuge in you and so preserve them from every plague and every evil. Lord, in your mercy. In our prayers this morning, we ask you, O Lord, to comfort Phil and Diana Pickett as they mourn the death of their grandson, Philip. May all such deaths remind us that life is fragile and uncertain, and therefore lead us all to live lives of repentance and forgiveness in your holy name. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, ruler of all nations, we thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon the United States of America and her people for the last 250 years. We pray that you would grant her good and wise government and sustain her in peace and security, especially so that your holy gospel may be confessed openly and received gladly by her people. Bless the celebrations of this milestone, that they may unite our country as a people and cause us to renew our commitment to the public good. Let all Christians give respect, honor, and love where each is due, as servants of Christ in this world whose eternal citizenship is in heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, be with all who are weary and heavy laden with the tribulations of this life. We pray for Norm and Pat Mueller, as Norm was this morning taken to the hospital. Be present with Norm and Pat as they await a diagnosis. We ask you to give comfort to Reese Volley and his family as Reese continues to struggle with liver issues. We pray for Teresa Ricard and Dorothy Donath as they both seek the strengthening of their bodies through physical therapy. And we pray for Michelle Vermeer as she recovers from hip surgery. We pray for all those whom we name in our hearts who suffer illnesses. Console them with the knowledge that your yoke is easy and your burden light, and that in you they will find rest for their souls. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you release your people from the waterless pit by the blood of your covenant. Bless all who receive Christ's body and blood with penitent hearts, trusting in your promises and a common confession of faith. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon the cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 717, Eternal Father Strong to Save, hymn 717 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. Megan, I see maybe a little announcement about Vacation Bible School.
I have spared you all for the last month of not having to hear my voice for Vacation Bible Experience, or formerly known as Vacation Bible School. It is a week from today. It'll be from 3 to 6 p.m. with a family meal at 6 p.m. We are decorating the church here Saturday from 9 to noon, so I'd love some help. If you could spare even just a half an hour to an hour, or the full time. It shouldn't take the full time, but you never know. I might come up with some wild, crazy new decoration over the next week. There's still plenty of time for kids to get registered. So 4 years old up to going into sixth grade is the age. So if you know any friends, family, grandkids that would like to participate, it's free. We'd love to have them join us. We've got about 30 kids signed up so far. So I'd love to have another 20-plus, 100-plus kids for next week. So check out anything out at the table over there, or I'm doing donuts today, so come find me. If there's any questions or anything like that, let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan. And please check the Zion Slide for any other announcements or activities that are going on at church this week. May the Lord bless all of you. And He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.